How many times had he said he was above all that? Countless times. But in the end, he wasn't immune to it. He'd fallen victim to it, just like all the others, and nearly killed a few innocent people in the process.
Never again. It's not worth it.
He looked in his rearview mirror for the Chrysler, thinking maybe he could apologize to the driver. But the car was little more than a tiny speck in the mirrors now.
Keeping a safe distance, huh? And I don't blame you.
Mark focused on the road ahead, brought his rig up to 105 and switched on the cruise control, suddenly content to let the rest of the world pass him by. Between Brockville and Cornwall, the highway had been fairly quiet. Up ahead, in the lane in front of him, Mark saw an empty lowboy that he seemed to be reeling in at a pretty good clip. He hadn't had to pass anyone for a while, and he wasn't keen on doing it now since he was in no real hurry. But this rig was moving too slowly for him to follow for any length of time. Mark checked his mirrors, saw there wasn't anyone racing up the left lane, and pulled out to pass. He was creeping past the lowboy slowly, almost making him wonder why he was even bothering to pass the guy. But it soon became obvious that the guy had sped up while Mark was trying to pass him. Mark knew plenty of drivers who hated being passed by other truckers, especially when they were pulling a light load and some big tanker roared on because of some big horsepower advantage. Maybe this guy was like that, although it wasn't likely since Mark wasn't hauling anything but puffed up plastic and foam and the guy's trailer was empty. After about 20 seconds, Mark was still trying to get by, inching up the lowboy as if his fingers were walking along the trailer to mark his progress. He pressed the accelerator down hesitantly, not wanting to get caught up in another situation like the one he had earlier in the day. At last, he was even with the other trucker's cab. He looked over at the man and waved hello. The other driver had only been periodically glancing to his left, but when Mark gave him a wave, he immediately put his eyes on the road in front of him and kept them there.
And a good day to you too, buddy.
Finally, he was past the lowboy and was just waiting for his trailer to clear it so he could move back into the right-hand lane when he noticed a road crew working in the passing lane up ahead. One of their trucks was halfway out into the lane, and a few orange cones were lined up on the shoulder. Mark checked his mirror and saw the other driver was still trying to match his speed, as if he wanted Mark to work damn hard to pass him. Well, Mark was working. In fact, he was sweating now. He had two choices. He could either hit the road crew's truck, or he could cut off the lowboy and hope the two trucks didn't touch. He decided on the latter, since it was the only one in which it might be possible for everyone to get through it without a scratch. He floored the accelerator and waited for the last possible moment, then pulled right. He missed the rear end of the road crew's truck, which had now pulled completely onto the shoulder, and he managed to get far enough in front of the lowboy so that at worst, the other driver would have to slam on his brakes.
Sorry.
Mark looked into his mirrors. The lowboy was sending up a cloud of black smoke, and the trailer seemed to be shuddering on the asphalt. The rig began to grow smaller in his mirrors as the driver pulled over onto the side of the highway.
This is motherlode to the fella in the lowboy. Do you copy? Maybe we'll meet up somewhere down the road.
The lowboy had become a tiny speck in his mirrors now, but he could still make out the plume of smoke rising up from its stack as the rig got up some speed and prepared to rejoin traffic. But as the minutes passed, it became apparent that the lowboy wasn't just getting back into the highway's flow. He was making some serious steam trying to catch back up to Mark. With each kilometer that passed, the white early model Volvo with a rhubarb across the front of its grille grew larger and larger in his mirrors. He guessed it was around 10 years old, probably with more than a few million kilometers on it. It was obvious the rig wasn't going to win any races, but Mark wasn't in the mood for driving like a maniac. After all, he'd been there and done that just that morning, and that had been enough excitement, even for Mark. But the lowboy just kept on coming. Mark saw a sign for a rest station coming up in another 2 kilometers and figured it was about time for a break. Sitting down with a meal and a newspaper might do him some good, and it might also give the guy in the lowboy a chance to cool off. He pulled right onto the off-ramp and slowed his rig. He brought it around back and parked it so that he would be able to see it from several of the picnic tables set up outside the rest station. As he walked toward the main building, Mark noticed that the lowboy had also pulled in and had parked in one of the few open spots at the opposite end of the lot from Motherlode. He watched the rig for a long time, waiting for the man to get out and approach him, but he never did.
Well, at least he's not looking for a confrontation.
He used the restroom, ordered a burger, fries, and coffee, and then bought a copy of the National Post to read while he ate. He was halfway through the sports section by the time he finished eating and carried his coffee with him back to his rig. As far as he could tell, the lowboy driver hadn't come into the rest station, and maybe hadn't even left his rig. Perhaps he was tired and needed to catch a few winks. Hopefully, that would explain his erratic driving. Sure, the guy had spent most of the day driving to deliver whatever equipment he was carrying, and now that he was returning home, he was beat, just trying to put a few more kilometers under the wheels before taking a break. That was probably it. Had to be. It sure beat thinking that he'd tried to get Mark killed after Mark had cut him off through no fault of his own. Mark paused a moment in the parking lot. Maybe he should go over and knock on the guy's cab and explain what happened. He could tell him he was sorry and that he hadn't meant to send him off the road. Then again, the guy might be sleeping by now, dreaming of someone like Shannon Tweed, and Mark waking him wasn't going to make matters any better. Might even piss him off. But if Mark left now, the guy would be sleeping for another few hours, and by the time he woke up, Mark would be halfway to Halifax. That made the most sense. They were both professionals, after all. Best to just let it go. Water under the bridge, or, more appropriately, asphalt under the tires. And they could both get on with the job of delivering goods and making themselves a living, while making sure stuff like that didn't happen again. Satisfied with his decision, Mark took a sip of his coffee and headed for his rig. In moments, he was underway. As he cleared his trailer of the other rigs parked in the lot, he noticed movement in his mirror. Apparently, Lowboy was on the move, too. By the time Mark neared the Ontario-Quebec border, it was obvious that the driver of the Lowboy was following him. He had matched Mark's pace every kilometer of the way, even passing other vehicles when it was unsafe to do so just to stay behind him. Mark wondered if he should radio for help, or perhaps try to reach the Ontario Provincial Police to report. Report what? That some driver was following him on the highway, driving just as fast as he was, no more or no less? There was no law against following another trucker. Hell, Mark did it himself often enough when he was tired and the guy in front of him was doing a decent enough pace. But this guy wasn't just following him, he was keeping Mark close to him, like he hadn't forgotten about being cut off by Mark back near Brockville.
Man, he must really be pissed off.
Mark upped his speed to 110, hoping to catch the other driver by surprise and see him fade into the distance. No chance. The guy was accelerating as well, keeping between one and two truck lengths behind him. It was a crazy situation, sort of like that famous TV movie Duel that starred Dennis Weaver as some sad sack salesman being pursued across the California desert by a crazed trucker driving a big tank trailer, presumably filled with oil. But that was a movie. This, on the other hand, was the real thing, and in real life, people could get hurt. Maybe Mark, maybe the other driver, but just maybe some two-year-old whose parents were driving to Montreal to visit Nana and Opa. Mark shook his head at the thought. He couldn't keep driving all day without a break. Neither of them could. But it didn't look as if the other driver was going to back down any, so it was up to Mark to do something. He decided the best thing would be to get away from the guy before he had the chance to do something crazy. Mark pressed his foot down hard on the accelerator. He heard the Cummins lag behind for a moment, then thrum at a higher pitch. Soon, the entire rig was gaining speed, and the speedometer slowly began to acknowledge he was accelerating. 115, 116, 118. Mark checked his mirrors and saw that the rhubarb on the front of the Volvo tractor wasn't getting any smaller, but actually loomed even larger in his mirrors, like the crazy fool was actually gaining on him. Mark kept accelerating, pulling out into the passing lane to glide by a pickup truck fully loaded with furniture and appliances. 120 now. The Lowboy was getting even closer, as if the guy was willing to burn out his motor just to give Mark a scare.
Well, I am scared. Scared that somebody's gonna get killed and the event will end up on one of those road rage websites for all my fellow truckers to see.
When he was down to just over 100, he brought his foot down again and began feeding fuel into the engine. Then he pulled over into the passing lane, giving the Lowboy behind him plenty of opportunity to get by. But the Lowboy slowed as well, staying in the right-hand lane as if he were minding his manners and had no business getting out in front of Mark. Cars were beginning to back up in both lanes behind them. Surely a cop would soon be on to them, and then Mark would be the one at fault. Mark pulled back into the right lane and brought Motherlode back up to a comfortable speed.
Damn it!
Even though the guy hadn't done a damn thing to him, his mere presence was incredibly annoying, and if nothing else, it was diverting Mark's attention away from the road. This had to be the opposite of road rage, Mark thought. Road unrage, he should call it, where a driver is driving erratically to avoid a nasty confrontation, but without any luck. He had a long way to go before he got to Halifax, and if this guy hounded him the entire way, he'd be a nervous wreck by the time it came for him to deliver his load and interact with a shipper.
All right, I've had enough.
He decided it was time he reported this guy to the police, regardless of what his intentions were.